So just for this last bit of our time together before we go to coffee time, we have Tim here. How many people have never seen Tim before? Yep, okay. Who are you? No. Marquita, where are you? Give us a wave. It's Marquita at the back. So she's the same number of people have not seen Marquita before. So back in 2003, this church didn't exist. But they did. Well, so did we all, depending on your age, of course. So what were you doing in the Netherlands before 2003?
Before 2003, Marquita and I and our two boys were living in America, and we had this, the Lord really spoke to us about coming to the Netherlands. We were pastoring a church, doing life, life was grand, and the Lord spoke to us about coming to the Netherlands. And so we really had this encounter with the Holy Spirit where we just couldn't get it out of us. It was like all we wanted to talk about was Nederland, and we wanted to, of course I didn't even call it Nederland then. I didn't know, I never heard Dutch language, I'd never been here, I didn't know anything. I just knew that when I went to my prayer closet that the Lord spoke to me about the Netherlands. In fact, he gave me a promise about the Netherlands and said that if we would come here, he would meet me here. That's all we had. But you know what? That's not a bad thing to have, is it? God wants to be with you wherever you're going, and he'll guide you and lead you. And so we came to the Netherlands, and we loved the church, and so we were going to be church planters. And so we started working with the church in The Hague and learning Dutch here at Leiden University. In fact, in those early times, some of the people in this room used to say to me, well, not really the people in this room, other people, we won't mention them, used to say to me, Tim, your Dutch is so bad, we're not even sure Jesus understands your Dutch. It was so bad. I mean, God was struggling with my Dutch. And so to make a long story short, while we were in The Hague, helping to plant a church in The Hague that's still going today, we had a third son, Michael. So James and Andrew came with us, and Michael was born here. He's our Dutch baby. And he's very proud of that. He's got a Dutch flag in his college room, in his dorm room. Yeah, he hangs in college room. He's very proud of his Dutch heritage. So he's got that. And we were just going through life and doing the thing and just going through life as normal. It's a longer story than this. But I was down in Leiden, down by the Peterskerk, one day, just doing my thing, going from the university home to Leiderdorp, just doing my thing. And again, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and reminded me of the promises that he had given us. And he said, what I talked to you about then, I want to do that right here in Leiden. Now, I knew planting a church in Leiden was a big deal for me. I knew it would be a much bigger deal for Marquita because we were going to start in our living room, okay? Which, guys, when you plant a church in your living room, you know what the guys do? They get all excited. You know what the ladies do? We got to clean this place up, get ready for all the people, So Marquita get all the boys and Tim, we all got to work and clean and get this thing ready. But the Lord spoke to her about two or three days later. And so we knew this is what we're going to do. So we got the Revises involved, and Frank came on board there. Met Frank. I got an email from Frank that said we're getting married, going to marry Josephine, and I'm moving up from Spain, and is there something I can do in this area? We said, I think there's something you can do. So Frank joined us and the Revises, and we started the first Sunday in January of 2014.
Awesome.
In our living room.
Yeah.
And the first services were in Dutch.
Yeah. So
yeah.
How did it end up like this then?
I think Frank heard our Dutch and said, guys, what are you thinking here?
So how the international church began.
No, Frank was kinder than that. I think he was very kind. He said there were English church, or there were Dutch churches in Leiden, but there wasn't an English one. So, and Frank named the church, International Church of Leiden. Yep, Frank named it.
And they said, hey, this is going to be easy, but we decided this is going to be an international English
church. Yeah. Because we thought, it's in English, so it's got to be easier for our Dutch. But that's how it started. That was in that first... In the first month of January, two or three services were in English or in Dutch, and then we moved to English.
Fantastic. Yeah, very good. And so that is 15 years ago.
So
when you began together in the house, Did you have any idea what it was going to shape like, or was it just, okay, Lord, here we go?
Well, we had no idea, but I remember the first service. You saw the picture of me sitting in the recliner. I remember sitting in the recliner that first Sunday. We had the Revises were there. Frank was coming, hadn't come up from Spain yet, and we were there, and so our five, and the Revises had three children, so they had five. There were 10, and there was one visitor, one person. Yeah, let's go plant a church for Jesus. And one person came. And you know what? I remember being so afraid, just being so fearful, like, what are we doing? And again, the Holy Spirit met us there in that moment and just brought such peace about it. It's going to be okay. And that's really where this idea of, you know, this is what the Lord's doing. It wasn't me or any of us. It was the Lord doing it through us. And so it set us at real liberty.
Yeah. Maybe that's an encouragement today for, like, where Adam and Becky and guys and things you're doing in The Hague. Just hold on to that, you know. And Kent and Leslie, great to have you back here again. Kent and Leslie were here a few weeks ago, and we prayed for Meeting Place International Church being planted into Harlem. Frank and Josephine are here today as well. And just to take that encouragement, you know, because it's about trusting God and seeing what he does, whether it's us corporately or whether you in your workplace or in the university, the Hoka School, or at school, or in our neighborhoods, whatever it is we're doing. These guys and Henk and Ineke and the rest of the Fundag team reaching out in the Moerwijk with our Dutch Kids Club, and just see what God does. You know, sometimes we don't have all the plans clear, but it's great to see what he does. And of course, we moved out of the home.
Yeah.
In the end.
There was a Sunday morning. We lived in Leiderdorp, a normal Dutch home, and we had 33 people in our living room. And I remember they were sitting on the stairs going upstairs. There's people all over. It was just cramped. It was just way too many people in the house. So Frank and Kendall and I got together and said, guys, we have to move. So we moved to the Holiday Inn. And we, you know, it was a pretty big deal. You had to sign, it was a 6-month contract on this room. We're going to rent a meeting room. And for us, it was a big deal. Like, what are we thinking? And I remember we signed it. Okay, Jesus, we're going to trust you. And the next Sunday, we went into the living room, and it was right at vacation time, and there were two people there. I preached to two. Marquita took the kids upstairs, and I preached to two. And, that was kind of difficult. Anyway, no, it was okay. Because, you know what, again, the Lord brought the peace, so we moved to the Holiday Inn, and we rented a room for 40 and got a room for 80 almost within a month. It grew and took off. And then we were there, I think, about 9 months. And we moved to the Leeds Instrument Maker School. And we were there for, I don't know, for another 9 months or so. So we're all there together. And do you want me to get to this point? Yeah. It's during that time that Marquita and I started feeling, because we're church planters at heart. And so we were feeling this church is going. It was running about, there was about 150 people, and it was going well, and things were happening, and we had this idea it was time to do something else. And I received an invitation to take on a new role with our organization where I'd be overseeing church planters across the northern part of Europe. And I remember saying, but Lord, what about ICL? When I got this email, and this email said basically, hi. I mean, this happened within a 48-hour, maybe 72-hour time period. I got this email. Hi, my name's Andy, and I live in Brixham, England, and I'm an associate pastor at a church, and I'm married to Helen, and I've got two kids, and we're wonderful people, and it's wonderful. And, yeah, it was, you know, blah, blah, blah. It was all, that's, I mean, it doesn't matter what he said. I'm telling you what I read, okay? I'm a wonderful person, and Helen's great, and everything's wonderful. My kids are great. Grids are wonderful, and we're just great people. And God, the Spirit is really speaking to us about pastoring a church in the Netherlands. Do you know any English-speaking churches in the Netherlands looking for a pastor? And I went, yes, I do. And I picked up the phone immediately and called, and Helen answered.
She did.
So, you know, you've been asking these questions to me about how the Spirit's... How did the Spirit deal with you guys? Because we were only here 3 years. They've been here 12.
So,
I mean, they're the ones that have been doing this thing. So...
Yeah, well, very quickly, because I want to make sure you have some time to actually preach, and we want to pray for you. Yeah, we were serving in a church in the UK and kind of doing kids ministry, youth ministry, and a lot of stuff in schools. Helen is still a school teacher. I'd been a school teacher, and we'd felt the Lord call me out of that back in 2000, just to go on adventures, see what happens next. We weren't sure what was going to take place. Ended up doing the things we were doing, but we always knew that probably that stirring would come again. And for us, it tends to be just we sort of get really unsettled, even though there's not a reason to be. And we start going, okay, God, what are you saying? And that started to happen to us in 2005. We shared with our pastor and our leadership team, we feel it's time to move on, and we feel God's calling us to, for me to be a pastor in a church, and Helen to be helping me with that. And but we weren't sure where and what, and we assumed somewhere in the UK. And but just going, Lord, what are you showing us? Please speak to us. And when you share things with other people and then nothing happens, it feels a bit awkward, because we had like weeks and then going into months of like, what are we going to do? So we went off to a Benedictine monastery, and we went to this place, and I should have brought the slide of it today. We were in this monastery, we're in this chapel, really seeking God. God, you've really got to speak to us. And at the end, there's this big stained glass window picture of Jesus, very much looking like the priest. The communion stuff's in front of him, and so on. And we're there in intense and seeking God, and it's silent. And Helen says, do you know what? And I think, here comes the revelation of God. She said, it looks like Jesus is wearing a tie. Really? Actually, I'm thinking the same thing. We're rubbish at this fasting thing, aren't we? Let's go and eat lunch. So we went off to the refectory and ate lunch. But over the next week, I think it was, three different people. One was my mum. She does love me. She wasn't getting rid of me. An ex-youth worker and someone in our church all came up and said, we're praying for you. We know that you're seeking God. Are you sure it's supposed to be the UK? What about the Netherlands? Three different people, totally disconnected, all came and spoke that to us. So we were like, two or three witnesses? Okay, God, we're going to the Netherlands. What are we going to do? Okay, so went on to Google, and hence the email ended up with Tim. And that's how God brought us here. It was his leading. Amongst our mortality and our ups and downs and our imperfect hearing God, that's how he got us here. And we're very grateful. And that was back in 2006. Yeah.
That there was a meeting like this one, and as you know it, I don't know, I shouldn't say this. This was the rule back in the day. If you come to ICL three times, you're a member.
Yeah, okay? It's still about the same. Yeah.
because they're so fluid. There's people coming and going all the time. And so we had never been there. Like, how do you choose a pastor? So what we did, we had a day like this. We had a meal, and then anybody who wanted to stay could stay. So a group of people stayed, and we met Andy and Helen. And we talked. They came for a whole weekend, and I think Helen did some ladies things, and Andy preached that morning, and we're sitting in the room, and I remember, and I want you to know, Andy and Helen, this, what I'm about to say, you've been faithful to this from that very first day. We were in that big circle, and we sat for about 2 hours asking questions. People were throwing questions back and forth at them. And finally, and there'd been no emotion from either one of them, just very, you know, no emotion at all, which as an American, that was kind of, you know, because we're, Americans are going to be real emotional, okay? And, but I was, it's okay, I'm just kind of sitting there listening to that, and I'm sitting right next to Helen, and I don't even know what the question was, but after 2 hours, the question's asked, and Helen answered, and she didn't even answer the question, which I love how she can do that. She doesn't answer the question, she tells you what you need to hear. Andy say, amen to that, brother. Andy say it. The question was asked, and I remember Helen started crying. Remember this? And she said, we just want to love you. And man, when she said that, I was sold. I knew it. These are the people for ICL. And I knew at that moment the Holy Spirit had spoken that there was something God had put in them, a love for you. And I felt totally at peace. God, this is your church, and these are your people to lead it. And I was totally at peace about it. And they have been faithful to show that love for you ever since that day. Amen? Amen. Ever since that day. And so thank you for that. It is a wonderful time to be here with you. And the passage we read means a lot to me. I'm not going to speak long because, you know, I told this guy at the soundboard, I said, if I get boring, just wave. And that means, sit down, you're boring. Hey, now I know you. I know you're kind. I've seen you around. I know you're kind. Yeah. You know, ICL, we started at 11, and we thought, oh, yeah, and all these students would come, and we thought, well, yeah, it's because we're so good. And really, what it came up, the students one day were honest with us, said, no, it's because you start at 11. Most churches start at 10. We get to sleep an extra hour if we go to ICL. So, yeah. But so I want to be quick today, and yeah, these guys, amen, yeah, these guys are getting it. So, but this passage of scripture that we're looking at, it really comes down, it says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me. Let us not ever underestimate what the Spirit of the Lord can do when he comes upon you. Never underestimate that. And you might think, well, Tim, that's good for you, but God would never do that with me. Friends, I was a person in church just like you're a person in church today. It's all about letting the Holy Spirit do in our life whatever he wants to do and following him every day, making that decision to follow him and seeing how he leads your life. And some of you who live in Leiden, it's a big deal to be in an English-speaking church. Others of you that are from the other side of the world, it was a big deal just to get to Leiden. Some of you know what I'm talking about. It was a big deal to get here. It was a real step. Like, what am I doing? And some of you came, and you didn't know what was going on, but you've met Jesus here. And the Spirit of the Lord wants to be upon you. And if you look down through it, and again, like I said, I'm not going to preach very long, because the one thing I learned at ICL, don't preach long. Right, Frank? Frank will tell you, don't, 20 minutes max. Max. We're talking max. Because there's coffee back there. Amen? If we look down through the passage, we see a whole bunch of things. We see to preach good news to the poor. He sent to bind a broken heart, to proclaim freedom to captives, relief from darkness from prisoners. You see all of these things that you get to do that we really can't do within our own power. It takes something more. It takes something more to release from darkness the prisoners, to set captives free. It takes something more than just Tim or you. It requires that Spirit to be upon you, the Spirit of the Lord to be upon you. It goes on to say, how do you take, instead of ashes, the oil of gladness? It's almost like he's saying, whatever you're facing, I'm going to turn it around. I'm going to flip it around. I'm going to change everything. Whatever your reality is, I'm going to make it different. I'm going to make it new. I'm going to make something that's sad happy. Something that's bad, I'm going to make it good. I'm going to turn it around. And you realize we can't do that. And I remember that day in the chair saying, God, I can't do this. I remember sitting there, I mean, what in the world are we doing starting ICL, starting this church? What are we thinking? God, I can't do this. And it's almost like in that moment that God, whenever you say to God, God, I can't do this, I think God looks at you and goes, yeah, I know. In fact, sometimes I think he goes, duh, you know, but no, maybe he loves us too much to treat us that way. But I mean, like, what are you thinking? You can't do it. Of course you can't do it. I'm going to do it. And so he invites us to partner with his Spirit so his Spirit can do whatever he wants us to do. And then you know what happens when we do that? There's total liberty. There's total peace. Lord, you brought me here. You're doing this in my life. This is all about you, God. I'm following you. And whatever happens, Lord, you're bigger than anything else in my life. It goes on to say, they'll be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And I remember in those early days, we would think, Lord, if just ICL could just be, was just like a little tree sprout coming, just a little tree. That's all we could see was just a little sprout. And we were so thankful for the little sprout. Be thankful for where you're at right now in the Lord. Amen? Be thankful for what he's doing in your life. You say, but Tim, you don't know the mistakes. You don't know the problems I have. You don't. Listen, it all makes good sense when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you. His presence changes everything. His power in our lives makes all the difference. And that can happen whether we're having great celebrations like today, or it's so good. We missed Tim today. That was a difficult time for the church. Tim was a good brother that went to be with the Lord. And we grieve together. But the Spirit of the Lord gives us peace and encouragement during times like even like that. And this church is so faithful to say, Lord, we're going to follow you no matter where you lead us. The words that you see up here, they came because there were four of us. We sat down and we said, if there was a church and it was perfect, describe what it would look like with one word. And Kendall Revis said it would be real. ICL is going to be, we're going to be real. We're just real people here. His wife, Christy, said we're going to be family. That's why you see the kids stuff. It's a family. Because so many of us who come from other parts of the world, we leave a lot of family behind. And if we can come to a place and have family, then we could, this is our family. Marquita said simple. Now, simple in a sense of einfaldig, okay? In a sense of not simple like, okay, einfaldig. I had to kind of explain that to a few people. Simple in a sense that our lives are so busy. And how many's got a busy, hectic life? Yeah, all of us. Let's have church just be a place where it's simple. Just we can just be our, we can be real, we can be a family, we can be simple. And my word was, let's be passionate about it. If we're not passionate about it, let's not do it. And we have followed those principles, and I think the church still follows them today. And those have been the key. And it all goes back to what the Spirit was saying to us at that time. He's still saying today, and he wants to say it in your life. And I'm just going to pray for you before I'm finished. And I want to pray for you again. I've prayed for you for years. And I want to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to come upon you. And I don't know what that means for you. Whatever you're facing today, the Holy Spirit, when he comes upon you, it changes everything. He'll give you the power that you need. He'll give you the wisdom you need. He'll give you the strength you need. He'll give you the peace that you need, which you're aware, peace is one of the greatest things I believe the church has to offer the world. If we can just be a place of peace. So let's pray. I just want to pray and invite the Holy Spirit to come upon you. Maybe you don't know the Lord today. You can meet him right where you're at, saying, Lord, I have no idea what this American's talking about, but Lord Jesus, here I am doing me whatever you want to do. You can say that prayer. Lord, here it is. I'm not perfect. I make tons of mistakes, but here I am. And you know what? I think Jesus sees that prayer and he's like, I hear that, because you're being real. You're being real. And God wants to be real with you as well. Let's pray together. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you so much for this day. We invite now your Holy Spirit just to come upon the good folks in this room. Have your way in those that need healing, become his healer for them. Those that have just confusion or chaos, God, bring wisdom, bring peace. Lord, those that are doing great, Lord, may you just strengthen, encourage them, and use them as an encouragement to others, Lord. Father, let your Holy Spirit be as a banner that hangs over ICL every day, that, Lord, it's your Spirit, that this church is a planting of the Lord for the display of your splendor, not for our splendor, but for yours. Do in our lives whatever you want to do. Make yourself known. And Lord, let us be a place of peace, Lord God. We sang earlier, Lord, I just believe that there's people in this room that struggle with shame. Lord, we sang it. When we sang that, Lord, I just felt quickened that, Lord, there's people in this room struggling with shame. Lord Jesus, set us free of the shame right now in the name of Jesus. We don't have to be ashamed. We don't have to be afraid. Lord Jesus, we're your people. Your Spirit is upon us. And have your way in our lives, Lord, and set us free to be the people of God you're calling us to be. I thank you for the good work you've done. Thank you, Lord God, for Andy and Helen. They're a blessing to this church, Lord God. For Ann and JJ, God, what a blessing, God. They're so faithful. And as Helen said that day, they say every day since then, they just want to love us, Lord God. And God, just thank you for them and bless their lives. Bless the Ann and JJ as well, God. Encourage them, Lord Jesus, right now. And God, for the good work you've done, Lord Jesus, for people who have been to ICL, they came once or they came for years, and now they've gone somewhere else, Lord God, on the other sides of the earth, Lord, wherever they are, bless them as well. For Lord, we're a family, Lord Jesus. And God, we want to be simple, Lord God, just keeping it simple, Lord Jesus. Let you be our sole passion. Let you be the sole thing we're looking for. Let you be the one, Lord Jesus, that we're after, Lord Jesus. Just let us be people that keep it simple. Father, let us be passionate about you. When we find ourselves drying up and not passionate about you, may this be a warning sign that, like Abraham, we have to stop, we have to pitch a tent, and we have to build an altar and seek your face, that we don't go another step further unless we have a passion for you, Lord God. Thank you for this day, and ask your blessing now, Lord, as we celebrate together in Jesus' name. Amen. This is where Andy's going to walk up here now.
Yeah.
There we go.
Hey, well, every month we have our missionary of the month. And funny enough, it's Tim and Marquita this month. So rather than having to pray for some people who are invisible or just a picture up on the screen, yeah. Marquita, can you come up to the front? So, and I've asked Ivana, where is she, to pray. Ivana is our longest standing member of the church. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Been here longer than we have. So I'm going to ask Ivona to pray for this wonderful couple. And as Tim said earlier, he and Marquita continue to oversee the ministry of missionaries throughout northwestern Europe. Thank you. I don't mind a hug. That's cool. I like that. Thank you. And I'm always happy to have one of those. So we continue to pray for them in their ministry, or their family, of course, are back in the States. So if a few other people just want to quickly come to the front and stand, whether you're ICL past, ICL present, doesn't matter, but just come up to the front now, and as Ivona leads us in prayer, we're going to pray for this couple. So.
Dear God, Father, you are so amazing, so great, so powerful, so loving. Thank you for giving your son that died for us so that we could be free, so that we can stand before your throne through his holy blood. Thank you, Lord Jesus, to break the evil in us, to take away our sins, so that we can be a blessing to people around us. You took us out of this mire that we lived in, Lord, all these horrible things that kept us away from you, Lord. And now we are very close to you, and we want to stay close to you, and that is why you sent us your Holy Spirit, so that you could fill us, refill us every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. And there's abundance, there's a raining Holy Spirit is raining on ICL. I've seen that when I've been praying with Pauline years and years now. Every Wednesday he's raining and pouring his Holy Spirit over ICL, and he wants us to repent of every sin that we've done. We're doing every day things that we're not supposed to, and that's why you are so loving. You draw us near to you, Lord, because you love us so much. You want us to do the things that you want us to do, and we give our whole life to you, and we present our bodies as living sacrifice to you, Lord Jesus, so that you can do through us what we cannot do. And we thank you for these beautiful people that trusted you. And like Abraham, blind, went to another place, not even knowing what was going to happen, but they trusted you. And to trust someone you cannot see, that is very hard. But the love and the peace that you give in our hearts draws us to do the things that you want us to do. Thank you for these lovely people, Tim and Marquita, that started this church, Lord, because they were obedient to you. Thank you also for Andy and Helen, because they were obedient to you. Thank you for their love. Thank you for the elders, Joost and Velmut and Corin Vicorel, Lord. They are faithful to you, Lord. And I ask you in Jesus' name, help us. Help us to draw closer to you. And help Tim and Marquita to know what next steps to take. Because every time you take a next step, kind of like the whole world changes. But you're being uprooted, Tim and Marquita, not for nothing. You're planted here again, once again in Holland. It's amazing. It's a miracle. And he's going to show you the way. Just stay in his love, and he will protect you, and he will guide you. He already gave you a house. He gives you everything you need every day again. Stay faithful, and God bless you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.